Sunday. What day is today?
Date-wise?
Yeah, no, like the day of the week. It is Sunday. Yeah. Welcome to another episode of the Armory 33 podcast. As always, host Quinn and Tanner joining me. We apologize. Our schedule is a little different. This is something you and I have talked about doing for a while.
We've talked about a couple times.
Going through our collection of firearms and what we have.
Potentially some other
guns. This goes back to an episode that we did a while ago, our EDC carry and our dream guns. One of my top five dream guns is a Toyota Hilux with a Mod Deuce on the back.
Mine's a Toyota Hilux with a dish on the back.
Hey, look at that. And that's another thing is you can attest to is that you've actually, I don't know if you have a plethora of weapons during your time in service for our country. Thank you for your service. What weapons did you carry when you were on overseas?
Well,
if you're allowed to talk about it. Because we have that one story we're not allowed to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
That thing I told you the other day.
I was never combat arms. But I did work in the special operations side as opposed to what we consider the big army or standard side. I got to see a lot of interesting characters and firearms, both rifles and pistols.
What were you trained on? What was your service?
When I went through basic combat training, I was towards the end of the era where I don't know if they still use M16. Yeah, M16, that thing had seen a thing or two. It had been around the block many a time. I'm still surprised that thing was as accurate as it was. When I got to my unit, we were given M4 A1s.
The new standard duty rifle.
Around since the late 80s, early 90s, they've gone through different iterations. You've got an original M4 or an M4 A1. The standard block one. Block two upgrades have a quad rail design.
I have a mini quad on mine.
But full Picatinny along the side. Daniel defense rifles have the wrist two. Handguards, part of the block two upgrade. We saw further development with block three upgrades like Geisley's.
Yeah.
Geisley URGI. They swapped out the entire upper to a whole brand new barrel, muzzle device, an entirely new handguard upper receiver entirely. Full.
Now, when we both worked in the firearm industry, what is one of the things you look for when you were looking for a rifle? Do you look for a Picatinny rail on it? Do you look for a certain kind of handguard?
My mindset on firearms has changed drastically from when I first bought this rifle over 8 years ago, before my first overseas rotation. I was 20 at the time. My take on rifles specifically, the AR platform, has changed drastically. It's purpose-driven because this is a duty style rifle, similar to what I may have carried an M4, or what my unit had, what I was issued. I've never been on patrol, so take everything I say with a grain of salt. The barrel length, the handguard, everything is similar, traditional duty style setup.
If you were on patrol, this would it'd be a replica type.
The maker of my rifle is different, especially the upper receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Everything completely different than a standard Colt M4 A1 like I had. As far as how the whole rifle is set up, at least, is close to what I would have had my rifle set up, even if it was just going to the range or doing any type of field exercise or training.
We want to let this be known first. We have both been trained in firearm safety. All of the guns that we are showing today are unloaded.
Correct.
The four rules, know it's behind your target. Don't put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Treat every gun as it's loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Have common sense.
Honestly.
These are things I stress to my two-year-old now.
We've all seen the Darwin Awards working in the old storefront.
Oh,
you've
probably seen
plenty of people that either A, should not have been allowed near a firearm or definitely need some retraining.
Just people that just have non-common sense and the term flagging comes up daily. I can't tell you how many guns I would hand to a customer. Opening the bolt, making sure everything is unloaded, and they're still like waving it around. I'm like, can we stop doing this, please? Be an adult. You have the ability to take a life with these things.
Not saying everybody that owns a gun is dumb, but some need to
refresh your course.
5 minute retrain.
So we have this episode broken into two sections. Tanner has one of his beautiful specimens here. Always have the point down range.
At the range, always down range.
Yeah. I still use that when I'm not at the range, which is 50 yards in my backyard.
That's fair.
Yeah. So you want to give us a quick overview of what we're looking at and the specifics of what you've upgraded?
Let's do a small background. 8 years ago, early 2016, before I went to Qatar, any viewers that know Qatar or have served understand that Qatar is not a very dangerous location. Most people consider it more of a vacation than a deployment. I say I have two deployments and one
TDY.
I don't fully remember what TDY stands for, but TDY is what we call anything that has us going away from our duty station. Okay, I went TDY one time to Florida, down to Tampa, for 2 weeks to do training.
Hey, Tampa and Florida might be deadlier than Qatar. I'm just saying.
There's probably some areas. That's how it's described, as any place away from your assigned duty station. So okay. Anytime I went away from North Carolina, what used to be Fort Bragg, it is now Fort Liberty. At my time, it was Fort Bragg. To me, it will always be Bragg. However, it is now Fort Liberty. If I was away from my duty station, yep, you would be TDY. If it was like, hey, we're going here for training, that's be considered TDY. You'd be on orders to do something along those lines. A couple months before I left for Qatar, I went to a gun shop 40 minutes outside base, and the guy only dealt in higher end, and I use that term loosely, but this is, and I don't mean to be a snob, a higher end AR. This is a Lewis Machine and Tool LMT Defender 2000 Series CQC MRP. Okay. Don't ask me about the full terminology. Close quarters combat, multi-role. I think it is a 16-inch barrel with a standard A2 birdcage, AR-15, and a monolithic upper receiver. The entire upper receiver, all the way to the end of the rails, is one piece. Most companies don't make monolithic uppers. So for anyone that isn't aware, AR-15s are devised into the handguard section, starting about here. The handguard and the upper receiver are one solid piece.
I swapped the screws out as in itself.
And it is a patented design by LMT. They're the only ones that hold that specific patent for their monolithic upper. There's maybe other companies that make monolithic uppers, but none stick to my mind.
I was in the industry for almost 3 years, and that was pretty much the first time I've ever heard of mm-hmm. that. So nothing. I dealt with Seekins, Dano Defense,
yep,
JP, and
Geisley.
SIG, not even SIG. Their SIG's pretty much across the board there, the two pieces, top and bottom.
But. Yeah, but any other, like you was just saying, Geisley, Seekin,
all the JP manufacturers, even Diamondback, because that's what mine is over there.
Yeah, they're all two separate piece for the upper receiver and a handguard, which is not a bad LMT. Decided to do monolithic uppers.
Because they could. Look at Kevin Brittingham from Q. Why does he do half the things he does? Because he can.
I think it was more along the sense that it makes it more modular in the sense that you can change barrels and calibers rather quick. Similar to how the original Bushmaster ACR, there are two pins. If you take those two pins out, that allows you to pull the entire barrel and gas system out. If I had another barrel, I could pull both bolts out, change the barrel, put the bolts back in, tighten them.
Yours is chambered in 223.556.
Mine is a 5.56 barrel and chamber, which is a 5.56/223 caliber.
Oh, this is like your brand of autism. This is the skill set you chose to have.
I just like firearms. My brother and I saw a lot of
Call of Duty, Modern Warfare
Call
2.
Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 2 and 3, the Big Red 1 edition, the old Navy SEAL games.
Counter-Strike will go down as one of the greatest shooters of all time. I remember playing that on the original Xbox.
Mm-hmm. It has a large place in a lot of gamers' hearts. As a first-person shooter,
that's the first-person shooter I've ever played.
I have no qualms. It's a great game.
I love getting you riled up.
Now, it's fun to play. With shooters nowadays, not every game, especially first-person shooters, is close to real.
Oh, yeah.
I like games that
challenge you.
Go the extra mile with weapon details.
With all the new Call of Duties and this, I don't play online anymore. I grew up with the original Modern Warfare chat lobbies. We were like making kids cry. Now kids are making me cry.
Some 13, 14-year-old kid dunks on you?
I have two full-time jobs and raising a child. You think I had time to sit? You text me, are you home? I paused Red Dead 2. My nap time on the weekends is my time to play video games.
We're going off on a tangent. I don't play a lot of versus games anymore. If I do, it's very rare. My friends and I have been getting back into Battlefield 4 because the servers are still active, which is the most amount of games I will play against other people at the moment. Unless Battlefield, which apparently they are going to come back out with another game set in modern times. And I hope they do.
What's the last Battlefield?
2042.
That's the one everybody hated.
Yeah. And it's still a sore spot for everybody.
All right, let's get back to this.
16-inch barrel, full five, monolithic
five,
upper.
5.56.
5.56.
Is starting to take over, like, how 30-06 used to
be. Times change, especially in the firearms community. Most people will look for calibers and or rifles that are a larger plethora and have more support. And you look at AR-15s, the platform has just ballooned within the past 10 years within aftermarket support and however many companies that are out there that produce AR-15s.
I keep looking at mine. I have a lot of aftermarket parts on that gun.
Yeah, you could. Mine is less because of how specific it is. Not a lot of companies produce monolithic upgrades, but everything else is mil-spec. I can take other aftermarket parts from varying companies and I incorporate them. Yep. Point being, I would say that the only thing not integral to the operation of the weapon itself has been modified by me. So the buffer tube here, that's still an LMT. That was originally what it came with when I picked it up. Castle Nuts, still LMT. The end plate grip in the back, LMT's Ergo Grip, they still sell it. The barrel piston system, mine is piston-driven instead of a direct impingement. Everything else, I modified myself. The trigger is a Geissele SSA trigger. I recently switched my stock. Originally, there was an LMT SOP mod stock. Mm-hmm. I swapped that out for a BCM gunfighter SOP mod stock. Slightly smaller, lighter, more maneuverable. It has QD endpoints for my sling. Is a Radian Raptor LT.
The lightweight one.
Mostly aluminum. It doesn't stick out too far, but it sticks out just far enough that I can grab it and rip it, and we're good to go.
You have ambidextric safety on both sides.
It's a Defender 2000, one of their older series. They're moving to the Mars series, Mars L and H, light and heavy. Standard AR-15, lower with ambidextrous, Mars H. Large frame AR, lower with ambidextrous controls. I could install ambidextrous safety selector, but when it comes to the bolt and mag release, I might, but it would have to be because most full ambidextrous lower receivers are proprietary. I'm not that concerned about it.
All right, take us into that beautiful thing that's sitting on top of your gun right now. Do you have a laser system?
I don't.
Oh, because I noticed you have your tape up there.
Folks at home can't see it on the camera, and I don't feel like moving the rifle around. Up here is a bit of Velcro.
Take pictures. We'll post them up with our social medias for the end of this episode.
It's the rough side of Velcro. It's Surefire momentary light switch and a Surefire, one of their older series M600 Scout lights on the right side. That Scout light is now on one of my other new toys that we may do on another episode.
If it wasn't raining, rain would be very nice.
And so I did have a light when it was more of a duty style, but the light's a lot more useful on my other rifle since it's a bit shorter and has a lot more uses than this does, especially indoors. Originally, when I bought the rifle, I also bought an EOTech holographic sight, one of the old 5.52s. I still have that sight. It's sitting on my Benelli for now. Since there's another sight I want to get for my Benelli, just going to purchase it later. I used to have an old 5.52. They hold AA batteries.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cheaper option. It still worked perfectly well.
I remember seeing one that got shot, had a bullet through it, and it still worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, EOTech makes great product. Expensive side, but you get what you pay for. Oh.
Mm-hmm. $299. Yeah.
There's no point, and this is more of a personal, not really a pet peeve, but more of just a personal mantra. There's no point in putting a $3,000 optic on a firearm that's only worth $600.
He didn't mean it. It's okay, buddy. It's okay.
So that's just how, that's just my personal thought process.
Yeah. When I was in sales, that was one of the biggest things. Like, you're spending $1,800. And I always tried to sell them where your optic should be equal to, if not more, than your gun. That's why I sold a lot of Night Force and X8s.
I'm sure those people were happy with their purchase.
Your glass is going to be shit. Spend an extra $400, and your glass can be amazing.
I think I told you on Friday, before I left work, I was looking at a Night Force NX8 1-8. The only thing I'm not a huge fan of, the eye relief isn't great, but with enough practice, I could get over it. And it's not that bad.
If you ever want to get me a Christmas present, I already have it picked out.
Oh my God.
I still have the NX.
An NX8?
2.5. It's going to be my hunting rifle.
Either getting one of those or a Vortex Viper HD.
I'm not a fan of the Viper HDs.
At its price point, it's not bad.
You're talking to somebody that still shoots Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks haven't let me down yet.
I'm not even going to talk about the scope on my current hunting rifle. It was a gift from my grandfather and my dad, and they both have a history of using certain brands with that they have relied on, which is perfectly fine. I have different tastes in firearms, optics, and ammunition.
We have
an Elcan Spectre DR 1-4 5.56. It's got the 5.56 reticle in FDE. That is not a Trichicon. I am going to replace that.
What is that? I can't even.
It's the X optic. It's the one design that was originally designed to fit on it. I am going to replace it with either a Trichicon or Reptilia.
Jesus.
But yeah, for the moment, it does fine. It's not like I'm banging it around and throwing it on the ground. No. I'm not that concerned about it. But this is a medium range sight. You can't see it, but on the backside is a lever to change from 4x magnification to single magnification, which is neat when I first got
it.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun fact, my first time getting my hands on one of these, I was in Iraq.
Oh, nice.
The guys I was supporting had a couple of rifles around. It's not like these guys were direct action. It was something entirely different.
Yeah.
And I can't really talk about it, but they did have a couple of rifles in the back, and one had an Elcan. I had heard about these, and I'd never seen one up close. I was ecstatic to see one up close.
Yeah.
That's what prompted me to get one for my rifle. This is one of the most accurate rifles I own. LMT is known for quality products, and their barrels are fantastic. You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
So when I paid for, how much did I pay for this thing?
I don't know.
$2,200 to $2,300 is what I paid. It was nice because the guy I bought it from said, "Hey, with this rifle, anything else you want to get today, 20% off."
I thought you were gonna say he gave you a military discount.
No, I think he gave me better than that. He was like 20% off anything else you want to buy today with it.
Yeah,
which is how I got a really nice rifle case, some mags, the EOTech.
So you have a two-point sling?
Yes,
so
I do have
yours is a crossbody sling?
Yep, I have a two-point sling because that's how I was trained. One of my old platoon sergeants at 11 Bravo, or an infantryman, before he changed MOSs and ended up moving to my unit, he had two combat deployments to Afghanistan as an M249 gunner. He has a lot of experience, and I trust his word. He was getting slings for people, and I got one from a local dealer outside of base. This used to be attached to my M4.
Your duty weapon.
Yep, duty sling. I've had this sling for probably close to 6 years.
Nice. Yeah. Well, you paid
$2,300 for the rifle.
Just for the rifle. Elcan's probably about another $1,200 higher.
MSRP on those is like $24.
Okay.
But I did not pay MSRP. Do you want to know how much I paid?
You probably got it for less than a grand.
Oh, I wish. No, I got that with the old storefront. I got it for a steal. $1,650.
That's not bad.
I knew these things were so expensive. Oh, yeah. Walking in there, because my two things were, I either wanted an Elcan Spectre DR or an ATACR 1-8.
An ATACR.
Anyway, I wanted one of those.
You got the better deal on that one.
You don't like the ATACR?
Nope. I do not.
Why not?
I just don't. The weight to them?
Oh, it's the weight.
It's the heftiness for me is, I try and go light. So my hunting rifle now is 8.9 pounds. A majority of that is the bolt.
Yeah, having got the chance to work downstairs, I put my hands on an ATAC-R. It was a used one.
We got back.
I was like, ATAC-R, 1-8 in FDE. Let me break this down. Mm-hmm. So fantastic. I want one, and I am going to get one eventually. They're just ridiculously expensive.
That's why I go NX-8.
Not as expensive as a Schmidt Bender. I thought about getting one of those, too.
The amount of money I've held in my hand, I just went, I'm going to put this back. I don't want to touch this anymore. I'm done.
Downstairs, I was like, let me break this out of the box. Take a look.
Right now, we're looking at about
40. If we're talking about just the rifle and the optic,
yeah,
probably around 45 MSRP. What I paid, probably under 4,000. Combined with everything else, it's probably at or above $5,000 with everything else I have with it. Specifically that X-Optic, too. I don't remember how much I paid for it. It wasn't as pricey as a Trichicon.
It does look nice, though. The hodgepodge of colors.
I could Cerakote it if I wanted to.
I know a guy.
This was the first firearm I purchased as an adult. The second was my Glock. This has a special place in my heart, and this rifle doesn't go anywhere.
You have a Glock 19?
Glock 19.
Gen 4.
The rifle has changed since I bought it. Additions, some subtractions, things I added, things I took away.
One of the things I love about the AR platform is that it is so modular.
Absolutely.
So you're just like, yep, it's off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The AR-15 being as modular as it is what draws a lot of
people.
It's
a gift and a curse. I have a box of random attachments. This is great because what we're going to show you next is my baby. I've had other ARs, even one that was it looked like an M16. Mm-hmm. It had like that full, like the circular handguard and everything. I couldn't get used to that because it had the triangle front sight. So I really like this. But it's a niche market.
Not for everyone. The problem is that if either of us made any more money, we would have a large collection of just anything.
Oh,
I can tell you.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I can't buy anything else until I get a safe.
The only thing I have in it is knives.
Just keep it for yourself. You might start adding more to it. It's all personal preference. You can do research as you want. You can watch videos. There's plenty of YouTubers out there that do firearms reviews. They go over training. They tell you do's and don'ts. There's a lot of personal preference to everything.
Yeah. When I bought the one we're going to show you next, mm-hmm. I went into the store and I dry fired about 20. I was that customer. This is what I'm looking for self-defense tactic or aspect of it, as well as a hunting gun at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I just literally dry fired about 20 different rifles and found the one I want. It's a cheaper option, yes, but the upgrades
make up for it.
I have about 4 coyote kills with that gun alone.
If you are thinking about or are in the process of going to get your first rifle or your first AR-15 in general, understand that you do not have to buy the most expensive rifle. You don't have to pay $3,000 for a JP Enterprise or $4,000+ for a Knights armament or even over $2,000 for an LMT.
The way we set this up is a budget gun build. My optics cost more than my gun, which goes back to it's a modular system. You can add and subtract things. I can take off optics, put new optics on, bore sight, and mm-hmm. get it close to where I need it to be on paper.
You don't have to buy the most expensive AR-15 you can get your hands on. If you want to, and you can, without breaking the bank or hurting yourself and or your family in the process, monetarily. But if you do, more power to you. Because I can guarantee you a lot of those rifles are going to hold up.
And here's another thing. You can spend $6,000 on the perfect rifle, the perfect setup. It comes down to the person who's behind the gun. The person that's behind that glass pulling that trigger. If you don't train with it and you're a horrible shot, you have a $8,000 paperweight.
True.
What's your sighted info?
I want to say
mine's at 50, but I can reach to 100.
Fun fact, if you didn't know, one of the things I saw a while, like I'm talking probably like a year or so ago, saw a couple of videos of a guy running training classes doing what they combat sighting, which was at 50 meters, because 50 meters also constitute roughly the same sighting at 200, the way the ballistics for a standard 5.56 round actually works out. So if you're sighted for 50, you're also sighted for the same at 200.
Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments.
I'm not an expert, but
at 50 yards, your bullet reaches top flight, correct? That's what somebody I used to work with told me. He said, you're sighted in at 50. 100 is only going to rise maybe a half an inch.
When we were sighting in our M16s, they told us, ready for shooting, your bullet starts here, and here's 300. So if your sighting is the same, you're good. Halfway between your muzzle and 300 at 150, you're at the height of your arc. If you're shooting at a silhouette at 150 meters, aim low. With 50, you're probably good here. Your arc goes up, comes back down, and is at the same, roughly the same area that you would be aiming at for 50 meters at 200. So that's how that goes. But yeah, back to what I was saying. You don't have to pay an exorbitant amount. There are plenty of budget-friendly options or anywhere in between as well. There's plenty of options out there from the high end to low end to middle. There are good options.
I don't think we're allowed to recommend guns.
What about companies?
We can talk about companies.
A good company that I've actually looked a while, it's hard to find any of their stuff in stock. Yeah. Bravo Company Manufacturing. Their prices are fantastic, and you get excellent quality. Eventually, I'm going to buy one myself. If I didn't go with Griffin for my SBR, I would have gone with BCM if I had found one.
Because I bought that right before COVID. Then ammo prices went up. It's somewhat returning to normal. We have a presidential election, which is where everything's going to go back up.
Prices are going to drive up again. If not BCM, the next step up from there, and I will never tell anybody no with this company, Geissele.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what's great about them. They're in our home state.
2-hour drive.
They make some of the best firearms I have seen and or laid my hands on.
They had that one called the Border Patrol rifle.
Some of their budget-friendly options are still very nice.
That was like $1,600.
It's a fantastic price. And if you want to step up any of their Super Duty Mod 1s, El Jefe, I think that one's a little lower, actually.
No, that one retailed for $23. Originally, it was.
Oh, I think it's lower. The El Jefe or Border Patrol versions from Geissele. Fantastic rifles.
Fantastic triggers.
Their Super Duty line, you cannot go wrong.
Branson would be in the corner having a conniption. He loves Geissele's.
The Super Duty line has only gotten better. Any of their URGI uppers, if you wanted to do a clone specific to rifles currently being used within special operations.
I can put it on a thing. I want to see how heavy this is.
A little bit, not much. Mostly on the front. Piston-driven rifles, a monolithic upper like this, they're going to be heavier than standard AR-15 platforms.
I like how your pig rail is numbered.
That's for a reason. So
don't forget that.
Thanks.
Your desk cover.
These were designed around duty use, so it's great for, let's say you have a setup like this, but then you want to change it for a night operation.
It helps zero.
Correct, as well as knowing this optic goes here, the clip-on thermal is going to go here. I have this light or a D-ball or a PEC-15 right here. Something along those lines. Yeah, no, that's something that you'll see a lot on duty-specific and or actual mil-spec rifles.
Hand me mine real quick. Throw that up over. Mine fits perfectly. You're right over there?
Yeah.
Stop playing with yourself, Tanner. We got more guns to talk about. This is the Diamondback DB10. I bought this back in 2009. I pitched it to my wife as a late wedding present. This was originally all in black. I had it Cerakoted along with my Glock. I'm very picky when it comes to my guns. I don't mind black rifles, but I like a bit of color. One of my good friends, Ryan, has the same gun.
Mm-hmm.
I told him to keep his black. So we know at the range.
It's the same rifle.
Same base. Then I have the Vortex AGM UH1. And the 3x magnifier on it. That's fantastic. I did have a scope on that at one point. I believe I had the Diamondback Tactical 4-12. It just didn't suit what I needed. Unlike yours, mine does not have the full pick rail. I have a 3-section here and a full from here.
All the way back on the upper receiver, yep.
So and then I had very limited space. I have one pick rail on the side, which I added because I did have a Surefire light on the other side.
Is that a pick rail at the 6 o'clock position where your grip is? It looks like it is.
Yeah, that was another one I added on. It's not key mod.
It's M-Lock.
M-Lock.
M-Lock is the future of handguards. Key mod never really took off, but it has its purposes. Yeah. One good thing about key mod, a couple of different gun companies. One of them is...
JP. Does key mod left and right.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's weird.
One of them has a key mod.
Accuracy International does key mod huge still. Especially for an AR, key mod is great or anything that has some sort of a gas system. Key mod's great for getting around those gas systems because M-Lock, like the one big thing I noticed about my new rifle, I had to put things on the 6 o'clock position. I had to get around the gas block because M-Lock is so high that it was, my M-Lock handguard was... Yeah. Thin enough that it was bumping off of the gas block. So key mod's a good way to get around that.
Yeah. So some of the basic things I've done just to replace it is new buffer tube, new buttstock from Magpul. Everything on this gun is Magpul. I have the Magpul 6-position buttstock. I run about 3rd or 4th position back. Not fully extended. Different pistol grip on mine as well. Okay. I swapped everything out. That's my single point sling. I had to take the cast nut off, take the buffer tube off, replace this so it's a single point sling holster. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've broken so many wrenches and cursed so many times. There's that one little spring you cannot lose.
Yeah, to keep the buffer in.
Fun times. I am going to be replacing this with a 45-degree.
More of an angled.
Very small angled, very close grip. Is that a C-grip they call that?
Yep, C-grip.
What I love about the Vortex AGM-1 is it has a night vision mode.
Higher-end EOTechs that have night vision mode, which helps.
But no, there's a guy in Mifflinburg that Cerakoted not only that, but my Glock, which we're going to show you. He's like, what colors do you want? I just want one color, coyote tan. He said, okay. Do you want to leave all your accent points black? I call it a burnt peanut butter gun. It has one side safety. I did change the dust cover on the other side. It does say NATO 5.56 on it, which is weird because I don't shoot NATO 5.56 out of this. A Winchester green tips.
That's 5.56.
Is it? Yeah. I don't know. Might be 223.
Is it M855?
I don't know. They're over in the
office. If it says green tip, it's M855, which is 5.56.
And then I stand correction. Like I said, I went through a couple $100 of ammo finding one they liked, and the green tip was the cherry on top. And
62 grain M855. 193s?
No, I had somebody that could make tracers.
Oh, that's fun. Did I ever tell you about the time?
Did you use a Mark 19 as the fire warning shots?
I was in rifle training. Towards the end, we started getting bored. You know what happens when soldiers get bored?
Shit gets blown up?
Really? Yeah. It's
okay.
My roommate and a good friend of mine were doing 249 training. It's a string of five rounds. Four of the rounds are standard M8, and every fifth round is a tracer. My roommate got the idea to pull all the rounds out of the link and then come up with an entire 100-round link of just tracers.
So that had to be a lot of belts he disassembled to get 100 tracers.
Yep.
How long did it take?
15 minutes, maybe.
That's not bad.
Disassembling it, putting tracers in a pile, putting them all together in the links, and putting them back in the box.
I remember watching a history video on one of the World War II bombers. Instead of every three rounds, it was every six rounds, so the enemy couldn't see where it was coming from.
Okay.
And he's just like, boom. Brr, brr. I was like, genius. I forget who made my charging handle, but it's not a Diamondback.
I don't know who made it. It does, however, look like a traditional AR-15
handle. It's only on one side, so you have to squeeze it. The ambi ones, I don't like full ambies.
Have you tried my Radian?
No, but if you're left-handed, there's something wrong with you.
Eh.
That's my dad joke for the episode. So this gun was $699 on sale for $550 when I bought it. The trigger pull, I swapped mine out. A local guy put a Geisley in there. I can't find the paper. I texted him the other day, and he didn't text me back yet.
But yeah. It's a bit heavier than mine, but still not bad. Much better than a standard mil-spec.
When we have range A's, where are my vest? I have a clip I can put on this, so I can do the single point, but I can hook it on my vest, too. Mm-hmm. So everything just sits right there. Because there was times where I was going out coyote hunting. I didn't take my gun off. I slipped it over, and I held it like between my legs as I was driving.
Yeah.
I was like, this is safe.
Safe enough.
Yeah. Safety was on. Trigger fingers off.
Nothing
good.
Nothing wrong with that.
But no, that's mine. I neglected it this year. I haven't shot it that much. Cleaned it the other day.
In the 8 years, I shot it probably a month or two ago. It wasn't much, maybe 50 rounds.
Yeah.
And I haven't cleaned it, which is fine. Yeah. Weapon maintenance is a big, however, you don't have to clean it all the time. Some people, it's perfectly fine. I have no problems with it. If you go out to a range, clean it every time, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't need to, but you can if you want to.
This is actually the one where if I had to go somewhere heavily populated, this is going in my go bag in the back of my truck.
Oh, yeah?
Because the go bag is right next to my vest, which has my plates in it. I prepare for the worst when I go out. My wife hates me sometimes. Today, we were going to lunch with her family, and I got in the car, and I was like, I had to go back in the house. She's like, what'd you forget? I'm like, I forgot Toodles. She just looked at me, shook her head. It's a tool that can fix everything.
Call? What would you call your rifle?
No, that's what I call this. That's Toodles.
That's fair.
That's the shit went sideways.
Oh, yeah.
This is great gun. It's probably about 8 pounds.
You rip solid.
Yeah. That's actually hollow.
It still feels, yeah, it feels pretty hefty, too.
But like, I can just go like that. My flip count, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Those Hueys well-received, considering they're compared a lot to EOTech, as EOTech being at one point the sole manufacturer of holographic weapon sights, and now Vortex making their own to basically deal with it or put it up against it. It's a great sight, great weapon sight. And I've always thought about getting one myself.
I'll let you shoot this. And
help me decide?
Yeah.
I would need to put it on something.
It was great because it's quick detached. I haven't marked where the bolt go when I take it off. I haven't taken it off yet. No, I run it more magnified because of my stigmatism. weird people judge me when I say that. When you look through a holographic sight, there's a bunch of mirrors and there's a bunch of lasers that are reflecting off that mirror that give you the fuzzy crosshairs and scopes. When I threw my magnifier on, it made everything look solid. I went with that setup because I can shoot it with or without my glasses. The only bad thing is that it's red. I have a problem seeing red sights sometimes, but the magnifier helps.
And, yeah. That's pretty good. I never thought about that since my eyes are pretty okay.
Nerd.
But you found something that works for you.
Yeah.
And that's all that really matters, folks, is that find something that you are comfortable with and that you know that you're not going to have any issues with.
Yeah. I had another sling on the butt stock and up here, I didn't like it. It got in the way when I'm trying to use my front grip or just trying to grab it, it would get tangled up. But no, single point sling, as I found, works really well, especially when I'm out coyote hunting or just, I'll carry this with me when I go up and just check my deer cameras in the off season. I live in the woods.
I'm not a huge fan of single points, but I see the appeal. I'm shorter, so I like positive control over any firearm if I have a sling on. Single points are okay, not my ideal, but not everything I do is going to work for people, and not everything that you do is going
like,
to work for people.
I might
other
shoot
people.
Your gun and be like, yeah, this is great. I might shoot mine, but I was like, but I'm going to prefer mine.
Yeah.
Yours is a $4,500 gun. Mine's about 10 or so. All said
with
and done.
With the optics and everything.
The Huey is just
beefy.
I think it's like retail is for like $699 MSRP.
I think it's higher than that.
It might be. Because you can buy it in the set, but the set comes with a 2-time magnifier, and mine's a 3-time magnifier.
Basic EOTechs are minimum 900.
Let's look it up right now. The
Huey?
AMG UH1. They have Gen 2s out?
Yours is a Gen 1?
I believe so.
How long have you had it?
9 months. Gen 2 is $1,000.
That's MSRP from their site. It might be less if you get it somewhere else.
That's a $1,000 holographic site. I think I paid cost for it. I bought it off somebody from work.
That's nice.
Fucking.
No, that definitely plays out nicely.
The magnifier, I can change that if I want to.
For you, it definitely makes sense.
Oh, yeah. There's no cokes in there. Is that what you're looking for? Yes, they're probably not cold. Those were the last two. That's why we savored them. There's a Red Bull over there if you want it.
No, it's okay.
That Red Bull has been good since 9 a.m. It's been open. Tells you how much I've been drinking lately. But let's take this off the table and then go into the things we carry on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're going to go rabbit hunting later. My daughter yelled at me for trying to shoot Bambi. When it comes to rifles, this right here is my baby when it comes to my everyday carry. This is a Glock 17 Gen 3. Everybody picks on me when I say this. I love the Gen 3 grips because it gives you the finger placement.
Why is the finger grips? You sure it's a Gen 3?
Yes, this is a Gen 3. I also have the Surefire X Ultra. This is my everyday carry. It fits well with my We the People holster for flashlight and
optics cut. You may have an issue putting an
optic. I have a Dremel. This is the one I cannot go without. The bad thing is my holster is outside the waistband, so there's a big imprint. Thousands of rounds have been put through this gun. I only had to use it one time in self-defense, but I didn't fire.
Oh, you pulled it?
I pulled it. It was one of those traffic stop things where I was in a very sketchy area and it was a very long red light and I noticed people were walking towards me. That was my
heart attack for the day?
Yeah. And that was one of the things I went, yeah, this goes with me wherever I go.
So, not a bad thing.
It's not that. It's never far away from me. It's in my bedside.
Don't have to worry about anybody, especially your daughter.
She knows now when she sees me, she goes, okay. She doesn't understand it yet, but she goes, we're safe. I'm like, yes, we are. What do you got over there? Sorry to interrupt. Mine did come in black, but I got a Cerakote at the same time. Safe. You're good. I didn't mean to point that at the camera.
Making sure you know it's safe.
Yep.
I can manipulate it.
Yep. You're good.
Thank you.
Yep. I'll let you check mine. Slides back, mags out. We are good.
I have a Glock 19 Gen 4. The quintessential baby brother to the 17. I don't understand Glock.
We were not going to get into
the Glock numbering and naming system.
Because you just sit there and go,
it's a little confused.
That's like Glock 20. It's in 10 mil. I don't want it to be in 10 mil. Mm-hmm.
The Glock Model 19, this is a Gen 4. This was the second or third firearm I bought. I bought my Glock 19 after finding out that the majority of the special operations community in the Army, so anybody that works in a...
Kennedy.
Well, I don't know if he did.
He's a SIG guy.
See, that's the thing. I'm starting to move to SIG. I'm not getting rid of this thing. The next pistol head's going to be a SIG. A lot of the Green Berets, Special Forces, and the Ranger Bat, whenever those guys deployed. When I was in Afghanistan, the Rangers had a small task force on Camp Alpha that I stayed. Those guys were going on patrols and raids day and night. Always carried Glock 17s with Safariland holsters made for Glock 34s.
Yeah, that. Trying to find a holster for this thing was hard.
A concealed carry.
But it's also that it's because I also have a different light on it than what people usually put on it. Usually people put, it's not a Surefire. What's the other light company?
Olight?
No.
Modlight?
Another flashlight company.
Expensive options are great, but sometimes you have budget-friendly options. That was one of the reasons why I got a Glock. If it's good enough for Ranger Regiment, it's good enough for me. It's not always the greatest, but I train with it and I use it enough that I am at least confident if I ever had to deploy it in a situation that I would be okay.
I don't know if I like your trigger.
I need
to change mine too.
Mine is not standard. This is an aftermarket trigger I got from a friend at one of my old units.
Mm-hmm.
He pretty much gave it to me for free because he didn't like it either. I like shooting with gloves. Without gloves, it digs into my finger. Other than that, it's a pretty good trigger. The trigger pull is fantastic.
I just didn't like the aesthetics.
It hooks here,
yeah.
So it digs into my finger. If I'm wearing gloves, no problem.
Mine is the good old two-stage.
When I first bought this, the guy that sold it to me is from Nationals in Jersey Shore. They may or may not remember me. A lot of the firearms I purchased through them. And it is a Glock 19 Gen 4, but with some modifications before the Gen 5s. Most Gen 4s don't have serrations on the slides. They have them in the back, but not in the front. I also have tritium night sights,
mm-hmm.
and the release has a slight extension. These were upgrades from the factory. Huh. They don't normally do on Glock 19s, or just most Glocks in general. This was right before the Gen 5s.
Mine was technically used.
Yep.
Never fired. Mm-hmm. But the guy bought it. He died 2 weeks later.
Well, that's unfortunate.
His wife goes, I just want to get rid of this. So again, I got it for $500.
They gave me a pretty steep discount.
Let me run down my pistols. The first ever was a Taurus G2C. Still have that. That's
right.
That's
the one over there.
That's the wife's concealed mm-hmm. carry. I bought a Ruger 380.
All right.
Don't have that anymore. Bought a SIG 320. Got rid of that. Here's the thing. It was bulky.
It's fine.
But that's my everyday carry now. Mm-hmm. Which is the same size as a 320.
Feels better in the hand, though, don't it?
Yes, it does.
Very first handgun, and I own three. Two I bought. The other was inherited from my grandfather. I don't carry that one. It's sentimental, and I don't trust it with my life. It is a Rossi snub-nose 357 Magnum. It's fun to shoot, but I am not accurate nor confident enough to employ it.
My next pistol will be a revolver. I don't know what...
Revolver?
A revolver. Not a Kimber, though. Not a Taurus. I'm not a Kimber fan. I had nothing against Taurus. I carried the Taurus for the longest time before I bought mm-hmm. this. That gun... I'm good with that gun. I'm great with this gun.
Mm-hmm.
When my wife and kid aren't home, I do drills. I showed you this flashlight. Mm-hmm. I can cut all the lights and still record a podcast with this flashlight.
Yeah, I know. It's the turbo, right? Powerful. And
the other thing I always carry is my Surefire.
It's a G2, right? Looks like this one I have at home, just in a slightly different color.
Because this has two different...
I think it's a 50 and a 500
uh-huh.
lumen setting.
Is bulky.
Here's the problem. It works.
That's the reason I got the Surefire. I was sick of carrying this around. Sometimes I carry both.
I started carrying this pen flashlight.
Is that your Cloud Defensive one?
Yep, it's Cloud Defense. Ooh. 50 and a 500 lumen.
Ooh. I sold that to you.
It's USB-C, chargeable. Great price. It's slim, hardly noticeable. I can slip it into my pocket.
It's taller than mine.
Just slightly.
I'm scraping sides coming out.
They're both Surefire Cloud Defense, two known manufacturers. Cloud Defense is building a good name. Surefire has been known for years for not just flashlights, but other products.
This feels heavier, though. I'm sleep deprived.
The three pistols I own, one was inherited, two were bought. The first was my Glock 19. The second was a Glock 34.
Is that still chambered in 9?
It's 9 mil, yep. It's the competition model. I just want a large frame pistol. You know
what
time.
Does shoot really nice, though, and it might be my next pistol besides a revolver?
What's that?
A Staccato. Made in Texas.
Who produces them? Daniel Defense? Hudson?
I don't remember.
Staccato.
How do you spell Staccato?
Oh, is it the 11?
Look how nice those look.
It's a large frame, double stack, 2011.
Yep. Includes a red dot kit, which covers hardware to mount a Trigicon RMR, SRO, RMR HD, Leupold Delta Point, Hollow Sun 507C. Well, you can add the optic. Why is an aim point optic more? We have to make
how
money.
Much more?
$100.
Is it showing the price or how much?
Yeah, $729.94. The Hollow Sun 507 is just $309.
I'm surprised they're more expensive. If you don't know, is ridiculously expensive. Very good products, but just really expensive.
That's because I added the 420 round mags.
Without the mags and the optic, it's still going to be what?
Yep. What? Tanner, thanks for bringing some weaponry down.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure. This is actually, I think, the first episode we actually had guns on. We've talked about them numerous times.
Yeah, we've talked about them, but never done anything
it's
like
really
this
weird.
Before.
This is we're getting close to episode 50.
Before we close, do we want to talk about any peeves, suggestions?
Just be smart with the range or gun store. Don't point it at people. Yes, it's unloaded, but be smart, please.
No, I fully agree with that. If you are looking to get into firearms, if you want to take your own safety, take the safety of yourself and of your family into your own hands, no problem. I'm serious. There's no problem admitting you don't know something. If you want to learn, do some research. See if you have
a range,
gun store, or any place where they have some sort of professional that knows what they're going to do, and take a class.
Yeah. Ironically, if you contact your local PD, they'll give you a gun safety course. Some PDs do it.
When purchasing firearms, do research. Find what you may or may not like and what you think you're going to be good, comfortable paying for and carrying. Then go into your local gun shop and purchase. Have them put that specific model in your hands to see if you like it.
Ask them what they recommend for a novice or entry-level firearm. You also have to be realistic. If they're trying to upsell you, know what you want and don't let them pressure you into buying something that you don't feel comfortable buying.
If you know someone, you have a friend, family member that may know a little bit more about, take them with you.
We love going to gun stores.
If you go into a gun store looking to buy your first firearm, specifically pistol, get as many pistols in your hand as you can. Find something comfortable.
Fit your hand. The weight is nice. You can rack the slide without struggling.
Yep.
Because I can rack this slide day in and day out.
It's how comfortable you are with that firearm. If you do not feel that you could employ that firearm in a situation that you would have to protect yourself or someone else, don't go with it. If you feel that you put this in your hand and can do this, then there you go. Take it to the range, train, shoot, take some courses.
Get out there. Don't make your first time shooting a life or death situation. I put range time on my guns during summertime. Weekends. Have you been to a range day here?
No, never.
Every time we go
at a range or something.
Or I don't give you enough time or you show up late. Yeah. Or the day you're supposed to come, I've been drinking all
day. Yeah, he's right. Don't let that be your first time.
No, go out. Yes, ammo is somewhat expensive, but I would rather you be well prepared.
If you're just plinking a bit, you're having some fun. If you're serious, make sure whatever ammunition you use, train with that ammo so you know that it will be effective.
Mm-hmm. Prime example is when I shoot, I have 6 mags. Mm-hmm. 3 have FMJs. 3 have critical defense.
Hollow points.
I alternate the mags. I'll finish with my last mag of the day, hollow points. And it's just repetition, knowing where I'm aiming because you've seen the targets on the range.
Yep.
They have 5 circles.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get off circle.
There's no problem with that. You're not going to be great overnight. If you are, more power to you. Some things take time.
Practice makes perfect.
If you practice a lot, your hard work will pay off. I wasn't a great shooter when I started.
I still wouldn't consider myself a great shooter. Get panic attacks when I zero my rifles. I was like, do I carry the four divided by two, go left or right? I'll go one way. Nope, had to go the other way. So how many adjustments? I made 18 clicks. I have to go another 18. And then when people talk, you're like, forgot what number. Yeah, like that counting worst. Thing. Mm-hmm. You were notorious for that. I'd be doing something at the start all over again.
I did that on purpose.
It was a flashlight. But
yeah, this repetition practice, get after it.
Thanks and welcome to our TED Talk.
Be safe about it.
Next time we do this, you're going to bring your...
Another one? I can bring my Benelli. I can bring my Browning A5 that you've never seen. Oh. That one's a fun one.
I want to have Shane bring his down that I bought the ammo for.
Oh, his 30 cal? That would be a really good one.
Maybe when we take all the corn off, we can get a nice fall range day in.
That would be pretty nice.
But we have a lot of people that can bring stuff. We have connections where we can...
Try this out.
We want to get some content. Other than that, Glock's still the best. People are like, I can't get used to the grip. I'm like, that's because you have small... You're not using it for horse insemination. You never heard that?
You're going to tell me about that after this.
No, I'm going to tell you about Gaston Glock. Do you know what he's known for? Gaston Glock, rest in peace, died this year. The way the company started is he was selling horse semen.
Artificial horse insemination.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
Glocks are great for two things.
Please, for the love of God, do not get a High Point. I would take a Taurus any day over a High Point. I would take a hammer over a High Point.
I got a couple different hammers.
I would take a lead pipe in the back of my truck, which I don't have.
Why did you wink at me?
No, I didn't wink at you.
It was Tanner, the pipe. In a parking lot.
I would take a brick or a random stone over a High Point. Might as well chuck the thing.
If you rely on a High Point, you're going to have a low point in your life.
Don't. High Point, keep that out of the choice. They just sell expensive paperweights.
Not even expensive. It's $200.
They sell semi-cheap paperweights.
Yeah, I was looking at a Canic we were selling.
I would shoot a Canic.
A Canic for $500?
Yeah. Not bad at all. You're fine.
I have no idea when our regular scheduled program is going to return.
We'll figure it out.
Have a good one. See
you. Stay safe.